What on earth is that?
It's a Journey into Comics Network production!
All aboard!
I brought my pencil! Get here!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Rank 'Em All, the only podcast where we go through one band's discography, go through song by song, episode by episode, rank them some bitches, and let you guys know what we think about it. As always, I'm the Podfather, also Spark Lord Nate, and joining me today, back as always, is the man, the myth, the legend, Branto. Tyler is broken already. I love it.
Every time you say Spark Lord, I mean, I'm not like, it's not that the nickname is comedic. It's just that it always catches me so off guard, and then immediately it breaks me.
Well, Nate.
I love that, T.Y.
Well, Nate, it's glad to be here again with you once again, here covering Rank 'Em All. Of course, we're going through the Ghost discography here. This is the final, for now, episode as we approach the end of the discography with Impera, Phantomime. It's a couple other songs mixed in there as well. And then, of course, afterwards, if you want to stick around after we rank the following album and EP, we're going to be doing the final tabulations of the top 10 songs. And out in the albums in order of how we ranked those. So stay tuned for that. But I'm going to try something a little bit different. You know what? We always tell stuff like that at the end. But you know what? If this is your first time, if you clicked on this episode for the first time and wondering, what are these yahoos talking about with Ghost? We're going to rank all these songs. We're going to rank them all down the list. Every song on the album, 1 through 10. Figure out which songs are the greatest. And then we're going to do the same thing with the rest of their whole discography. We're going to rank every single song we got. All the covers, all the other stuff, and that's cool. That's how we did it with Metallica, Between the Buried and Me, Van Halen, Alice in Chains, and now we've arrived at Ghost. And we have some other people here with us to do that, Nate. We have one of our loving friends from the Journey to Comics Network, the stepdad of the network, if you will, the GIC fam, Tyler McLaughlin.
I'm the friendly stepdad. Cinderella stuff. You want me around.
The friendly neighborhood stepdad.
Yep.
Oh, I love that. And of course, we are not alone, joined once again by our favorite. Welcome back, Andy Crimson. How's it going?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me. Once again, I came in prepared. Pair of shirt.
Love
represent.
It. She brought her shirt.
I wanted to grab one at the show, but I literally could not afford to buy any merch, and that made me very sad.
Well, and when we went to the merch lines were wild, and then we had such a debacle trying to get to the venue on time and all that. So yeah, I definitely wanted to snag some merch too, but just gives me an excuse to go back.
Yeah, I was still saving money for the Metallica Detroit trip at the time, and so I had to pick. I had to, because we were going to be spending the whole weekend, and I'm like, I can't pull from the savings as much as I wanted to. And sure. So unfortunately, I was able to just attend, and that was enough. And it was really cool to see the show live in person. But, Nate, here with Impera coming up, we are looking at what would you say would best describe this transition from prequel to Impera?
I feel like this is Ghost's glow up, and in a lot of ways, I feel like, and I don't know exactly the timeline, maybe you guys will correct me, but I feel like some of their popularity burst with Mary on a Cross kind of informed stylistically where they choose to go, right? They're hitting a different, wider swath of an audience now, and they're getting people who are, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's impressive that they have fans that are in all age ranges. Their music is very palatable, even if at first it's weird and creepy because it's got satanic themes. It's great, and I think that speaks for itself. Now, before we actually got into Impera, Brando, Ghost got to be a part of pretty amazing, and I love the idea of this album by itself. It's extra cool that Ghost got to be a part of it, but artists and bands and acts, literally, there was at least one cover of every song on the Black Album. Some songs had 6, 7, 8 covers. I think Nothing Else Matter had like eight covers, but all these different covers were really cool.
Really cool is what I assume Nate was
guessing
say.
That I probably, yeah, I'm frozen.
We're having some connectivity issues. Already. We're going to try and power through. So if there's any time there where he cancels out, I'm going to try and jump in and just keep rolling on, guys. So please bear with us. It took us a while to get this scheduled. We're going to power through this episode like we have never done before.
We're dedicated.
We are dedicated. Mm-hmm. We are a well-powered steam machine. But Nate, you are correct. Before we make our stop at Impera, they made a little pit stop with that Metallica Blacklist project that they put together for the 30th anniversary of the Black album, featuring so many kinds of different covers and, like even some off the cuff kind of covers you want to hear. But like, if you metalheads are out there, check out that Holier Than Thou cover, from Corey Taylor. And then I think Volbeat did Don't Tread on Me. That's a pretty good take. Chris Stapleton, not a metalhead, other side of the fence, but did a really cool cover of Nothing Else Matters as well. Mm-hmm. And Ghost tackled the most popular or maybe infamous Metallica song of all time. It's got all very varieties of opinions about the song because of its mm-hmm. notoriety and its place in just pop culture is Enter Sandman. Mm-hmm. That's the song that broke Metallica through to the mainstream rock audience. It just like Nate said, maybe we have started to see with Ghost in the last couple of albums kind of break through to the mainstream rock, not just metal, rock stations mm-hmm. across the country. And then you have the viral popularity of Mary on a Cross. That could not have happened at a better time to a better band. They're in this right transition of getting ready to have another big album. And what a better time not to have that pop, because I mentioned coming back from Prequel, like I always considered when I first heard Impera, because I, as I mentioned in the last episode, Prequel didn't hit with me at first. It was good, but it didn't. This album did. This album is the album that officially 100% made me a Ghost fan. And it made me want to be a part of the rank. And it was like this album hit, and it was my favorite album of the entire year that year. It was great. But the 80s sound that I really kind of liked on this album, it started on the last one a little bit. It's mm-hmm. with a couple of those songs. And I feel like they took it even further on this one, and I have notes to clarify that. But Nate, if we can you get us into Enter Sandman? Are you there?
Yeah, we are here. So let's go ahead and I'll quickly jump into my thoughts, I guess, about Sandman, and just say. Obviously, Brenda, you and I have a lot of history with this song. We've covered it and covered it and covered it till our faces turn blue. Mm-hmm. And I love what Ghost did. I think that they had a really beautiful. And with that, I just think it was just very beautifully. Again, now, I will say this is one of the rare times I can't say Ghost did it better. I love Ghost. They're my shit. But that's Metallica, and you can't fuck with Metallica. So, it's very, very good. Very, 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 very great cover. But yeah, that's all I've got. Let's kick it over to Andy.
What I love about this cover is the piano. I just think that really sells it for me. It makes the song much like Ghost's own. And I think that's what I have in there. This is like your own cover. You finally like just broke away from, you know, Metallica's mold. And I don't know if anybody remembers, this song was not really released, but they performed this live for some award that Metallica was getting, if I remember correctly. That was the first time I had heard it, and he was Copia at the time. But this recording, this version is just, I love it. It's beautiful. I love the change up with the solo. I would prefer maybe a little bit more aggressive vocals from Tobias, just because I love that flavor of Metallica, but it works. And I think it's a great song. And I like singing this one too, just because of that soft intro, the piano.
All Right on. I will go next, Nate. And I felt that this was a really good cover that messed with the heavy clean arrangement a little bit in the beginning. It waited a while to kick in with the heavy part, which gave it that more of kind of the seductive kind of thing that Tobias has done with some other songs. Listen to me, my child, come here, you know, like lure you in kind of deal. And I felt like delaying the heaviness kind of made it different. It took that and made that ghosty versus, just being a complete one-to-one cover, which for the rest of the song, for the most part, pretty similar, similar enough, but and they do a pretty darn good job. Like, I do enjoy it. It's one of my more favorite covers on that cover collection. And TY, what you got to say, bud?
Man, you guys all summed it up perfectly. I think the thing that I like the most about the cover is it, like Nate said, it's definitely not better than OG. It's Metallica. Come on now. But that being said, that doesn't mean by any means that it's less. You know, it can equally, obviously not equally in the grand scheme, but just as an individual song and remove all the grandeur and the history of Enter Sandman and all that and all of our bias and everybody's love or unlove for that song, I guess. And they at no point did it feel like they were trying to make it more than it was. They were just, it seems that they're doing it because they want to do it and paying true homage to the song. You know what I mean? So, no, I loved it. I'm that, like I said at the beginning of the episode, I'm that cover guy anyway. I love him. So, big fan.
Oh. TY, give us those ranks, bro.
I'm going to give it an 8.
Random.
I also gave it an 8.
Andy.
I gave it an 8.5.
And I gave it an 8.15.
Hey, look at that.
So we're all in the ballpark. I like Brando's face. Like, come on, really? Right off the gate. I thought that was going to be later in the show because I didn't realize we were going to do it first, not towards the end. So.
If we did the drinking game where Nate fucks with Brando by giving him weird-ass fucking ranks, they would be plastered. Well in already, because that's a double shot right there, and yeah, we're about ready to get into the album. It's not over yet. Definitely. He's going to do it.
Hasn't even.
He's doing
begun.
This more.
No,
and he's doing it to throw me off. So I'll hit the wrong button or something.
Let's go ahead and officially. Yes, that's exactly what I did. I hate the internet. I'm just going to keep it real with you guys. Let's go ahead and officially get into Impera, which did release March 11th of 2022. We're just going to get right with it. The first song is Imperium. TY, hit me with your thoughts, my friend.
Another strong opener. Super somber tone. In the beginning when everything's kind of building and getting louder and louder, there was a moment where I felt like I was in a movie theater in the early 2000s and like the THX or Dolby thing was trying to like blast your eardrums out. So that kind of made me chuckle pretty good. But I really dug it. I thought it was real solid for an opener.
All right, Brando.
I agree 100% with TY. This is my favorite intro that they've done so far. And I'm just going to tell you straight up, I'm a sucker for marching snares, especially when you're leading up to a big epic, that big swooning, the like dual guitars going on. It's very over the top and I love it. I'm here for it. And I love the cool melodic movements that circle back around later in the albums. Something that I really like what they do with some of their instrumental passages. They'll sneak in little melodies that are actually from other songs, but it kind of does that. Please indulge me, video game nerds, but Nobuo Uematsu in some of his Final Fantasy games creates a main theme for the game. So you have like 7, 8, and 9. Those are the ones that come to mind. And then maybe 10. You have a main theme, and he works that theme into so many different other arrangements in the game where you hear that theme over and over again, maybe in a different mode, different key. He changes it, and it's really cool how he does that. And that's something that I've noticed that Ghost does as well with some of their intro to tracks or some of their main instrumentals. Even some of my favorite ones have passages that link into hint and other stuff. So I like that.
Awesome. Andy, what are your thoughts?
I just want to set up where this song comes in, especially since this whole album I listened to with my band for the first time when it dropped. And to kind of have some context for a Ghost fan or somebody who's new, this album, I believe, was delayed because of COVID. So we were hungry as fans for something. We got a hint of Hunter's Moon, and then it never happened. And then this album drops, and I'm so happy with this track. I put the intro of intros, movie score, to throw back to what Ty was saying about the theater. It's just like when you're hearing it for the first time, I'm like, oh, this is what I wanted. Like, it would just suck if Ghost released their album after so long and then it just didn't land right.
Sure.
You know? And I also love those military style drums, and the guitar sounds are just, I love them. I just love how it's just the perfect mystery. What is the next stage of Ghost, of Papa? And I think it just sets up the album perfectly.
Excellent. For my notes, I put there's a whole new tone and energy right out the gate. You can feel and tell. It's so epic and emotional when everybody kicks in, when that first guitar fucking hits, and it just is just a heavy chunk rhythm note. Like, it definitely sets the pace for what's to come. This intro definitely builds properly. They actually use something I want to say it's called the Shepherd tone. Hans Zimmer used Shepherd tone. And what it is it's a low note like a C and a high C. And they constantly rotate low to high, but they go in opposite directions. So when it happens, it constantly feels like there's building, but nothing is changing. It's just this note that just sits and gets louder. So I love their usage of it, because that actually, you guys are saying the movie score thing, that's a very common thing. Like I said, Hans Zimmer uses. So that was a great pick out. I just think this would also, weirdly enough, be a rad outro. Like a farewell to the album, just like, we've done it, we've fucking hit the end. I came across that concept because I had it on shuffle accidentally, and I heard Respite, and then I heard this, and I was like, oh, that was cool. Give me more of that. But yeah, I really dug this song. I gave her an 8.75. Andy, what is your rank?
7.8.
Brando.
9.5.
Yeah, T.Y.
8.75.
Oh, tied. Love it. All right, let's move on to...
What was yours?
Kaiserion. I'm going to send it...
Nate.
8.75.
Okay. I did not catch yours.
Yep.
Sorry. Continue.
It's okay. Let's move on to Kaiserion. I'm going to kick it over to Andy first. Give us your thoughts.
A very surprising song, especially with that high note. It makes you wonder, who's doing that? Is that Tobias? I like how it's a different tone from most of the Ghost songs that we've started to hear, especially in the beginning part of the album. Most of the times it's kind of murky and sinister. This is just coming out there so bright, so full of energy. It's a very showy song. It gave me a lot of like 80s arena. That's what it was intended for. Gives me a lot of nostalgic feels as well. Kind of reminded me of Journey at some points. And I was like, I dig this. And I love the lyrics. Tobias paints this story with this fun, you know, musical notes and things like that. And it's just so addicting. And when I was re-listening to it, because at first I did not like this song. I was like, I don't get the hype. It's not my thing. But for the podcast, I sat down and I was like, oh, I'm getting emotional. I have no idea why, but it just, I have this swell in my chest every time I listen to it now. And I appreciate it. I think it's really well composed. And the pacing, which I thought was off-putting at first, I fell in love with. So I guess that's just the journey of this song for me. I really, really appreciate it. I think it's one of the better songs on the album.
Excellent, excellent. Right out of the gate, it feels different for me. It's got this drive with early 80s vibes. The high note is really interesting, and hopefully you guys can hear me when I'm saying all this. But the high note's really interesting because it is sung initially, and then the synth takes over the height of that note so it can be extended way longer. And it's so subtle. I've listened to it like 50 times because I'm like, there's no way one human person held that high-ass note that long. They don't. It's a really just really well-done trick. They did. They killed it. What else did I put here? Big epic intro, high pitch note pierces through. I think this is definitely about the fall of modern Rome or Earth as a whole. But also it plays into, there was an actual place that was like a very ancient, library that was destroyed that they, the fan base I've read about has discussed this could be also about that. Far Away from the Stench of the Heavens is one of my favorite lines in that song, as it builds and then like the chanting under it is so epic. The guitar work is stellar. The noodles pre-chorus are really cool. If you like, they're really subtle and kick in there. Driving rhythm section's awesome. The tribal toms towards the end are amazing. And the shift going into the end with the solo is, again, CKY vibes. We've said it a couple times with some ghost stuff. I don't know how they keep doing it, but they just hit that vibe for me. TY, what are your thoughts?
You guys are killing it, stealing all my thoughts. Man, the high note for sure totally caught me off guard. And I'm with Andy. I really didn't dig this song at first, but through listening to it over and over again for the show, that more positive, light and kind of airy vibe that the song has is kind of, like infectious. It's so uplifting. Like you guys said, you know, it's hard not to totally get into it. I really like that this kind of feels like a power metal song. The guitars totally stole the show. The drums are strong. Ended up totally being one of my favorites on the album. So I really dug it.
There is
Brando.
There's not a track on this album that has improved its stance with me better than this song has. So literally three of us said the exact same thing for that. Mm-hmm. Yes. No. When I first heard it, I was like, it's all right. And then like on that first pass through, I kind of felt like, amongst some of the other songs that I liked, that it kind of got more annoying. I really didn't care for the way that the verses were like the same Kasarian, but da 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 da. But da 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 is like to say, okay, because my brain picks apart patterns and I didn't like the pattern. Mm-hmm. Okay. That happens sometimes. It's the tism, whatever. But when we saw them live and they opened with this and how powerful that felt, it changed my perception of the song. And we weren't even listening to this yet. Like when we were ranking that, when we were doing that.
Yeah.
That was still a ways away. But when I revisited it, I heard more things that I did not hear before. My brain was telling me I don't like this pattern. The person that saw them live said, this song hits here and I like it. Mm-hmm. Who cares what he's saying at this point?
Sure.
It's the other stuff that I'm digging. And it is a very big 80s arena rock. I wrote, the 80s have arrived in full force and we're here to take all your children.
Force is in parentheses with like lightning bolts or something.
Yes.
Too, you know?
Yes. Big 80s rock anthemic. I love the what Andy said about Journey, but there's another band. There's another band that I caught in the solo section, the little bridge, and I'm gonna hum it very badly. So it breaks down into a time signature change. The bump ba da 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 bump da 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 bump bump bump. That's Rush. That's straight up fucking Rush. And yeah, like once I heard that, I was like. And that was on like the 10th time I heard it, I made the connection to Rush. I was like, okay, cool. This is badass. Cause that was straight up that. Okay. When the song starts up and there's the, is that not like the beginning of like a Bruce Springsteen show where all the lights come on and like the American flag in the background And but anyway, that so that's what I think. And but when you get into that Russ section, it changes the song for me. And then at the very end, when they come back, is it the pre-chorus? It's the sound of another deadline whistling past your ears. Mm-hmm. It's the sound of a million regrets mounting over years. Hmm.
Oof, that's some powerful shit.
Yes, it mm-hmm. is. I love it. Love it.
Well, what's your rank?
9.25.
TY.
Nine. Nope. Nate and Andy are on the same radar.
9.37.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, and it's obscure. Shit. I love it.
Hell yeah.
Okay, dope. All right, we'll move on now to Spillways. We'll briefly discuss in a minute the enjoyment of the alternate version of this, but we'll get into the main version first. Brando, thoughts on Spillways?
Bon Jovi, Runaway.
Oh, hell yeah.
Those are my notes. I like this song. It is a really good song. I do enjoy it a lot, but it is definitely it 2019. So my oldest, when he was listening to music, he was like constantly listening to the same stuff over and over again. It's very repetitive. And when you would introduce new songs, some would cycle out, but then we would listen to the new ones forever and a day. Mm-hmm. I remember listening to Runaway from Bon Jovi so many times in the car that song is embedded in probably like into my, like what's left of my hair. It's just like if you snipped it off and did a microscope test, you would see, ooh, she's a little runaway. So when I hear that dun 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 dun, I'm like, oh wow, okay, that's on the nose. But the funny thing is, that's not the only 80s song that you can link that to. There's other ones out there that start the exact same way. But like it. In fact, love it.
Awesome, Andy.
It's like, can you get any more 80s? Ooh, like it. For real.
Right.
I love it. I love it. I wish that was my era. But I really like the video too. The music video was just like a different take and it was fresh because now we've included the ghouls in it. I think it's a very fun song. I love the solo and I put like tease, added growls and ahs remind us that this is still Ghost, even though we're doing a very poppy, very sellable, marketable song. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's one you can just have on and on repeat. It doesn't get tired for me. I really think it's a great song.
Awesome. I wrote that the piano intro, like you guys have said, is so 80s. 80s, 80s, 80s. It's a love letter to the 80s. How many times we say 80s? If it's a drinking game, you'd be wrecked.
80s, 80s, 80s.
Driving drums throughout. The chorus hits so hard. The give and take of a relationship. What I do for you, why won't you do the same for me? The little things overflow into the spillways, right? Spillways are a control for a dam that eventually burst anyway. So this is really, I mean, the allegory with which he sings in this is very, again, so powerful. This man is speaking so much advice and truth through his lyrics and maybe does or does not even know it. And the solo section fucking slaps. TY, give it to us.
I mean, you guys wrapped it up in a nice little bow for me. That solo really slapped. I actually didn't pick up on the Bon Jovi right away, but I thought I just died in your arms tonight with the pianos at the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. But yeah, for sure. The absolute definition of a love letter to the 80s. And I think as much as this song, I really dug it. I think one of the things that really, really makes it a little bit more enjoyable than maybe it wouldn't. Cause it's not that I skipped the song on the album, but I'm not as amped up to hear this one, maybe as the last one.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I think it is that it's right around that 3 minute mark. It's just a little bit over 3 minutes. So it's a super quick song. I think if it was any longer, then it would overstay its welcome pretty quick. You know, like a lot of 80s tunes definitely did for sure. But yeah, I liked it. Nate is frozen.
All right, team, what's your rank, my friend?
7.5.
No, I should be back. I'm a little bit departed on you. I gave it a 9 again. Andy.
9.4.
Brando.
9.5. And if you're playing that drinking game where you do the weird, Andy's going to make sure that you're drunk by the time you're done with this one. I love it. I gave it a 9.5.
Before we move on from this, we did have a alternate version of the song that came out featuring Joe Perry of Def Leppard.
Mm-hmm.
And good comparatively, but it's kind of even hard to pick out when Joe Perry's singing. His voice is not that different from Papa. It's like he really like locked into Papa's voice, and it's discernible. You know, there's very subtle differences. Anyways, let's go on to track 4. Call Me Little Sunshine. I'll get right down to it. Haunting guitar intro that carries the song, right? Give yourself to Satan and you'll never be alone is the theme of this song. Just give yourself, always be by your side and you'll be great. Kirk Hammett, chorus 1 and verse 2. Bass does fun variations in the chorus, which are really cool if you can pick them out. The jam and the solo into the organ only part with the vocals is so dope when it just breaks down to "You Will Never Walk Alone" and it's just Papa. Like, for those of you who've been to Ritual, I'm sure when that moment hits, it's fucking super powerful because he's commanding the whole fucking audience in that moment. The last chord minor shift, and I love this one. I also, another that I play on guitar, TY, hit us.
Man, I like a lot of what you said, Nate. And as far as my notes go, very first thing I wrote down was banger. Absolute banger. It's immediately recognizable. It's played on the radio so much. Give me just one second here and I'll tell you the stream number, because this is a big one.
We'll have to catch up on those.
Yeah,
huh?
This is a big one. So I'll do a quick recap. As far as the album so far, and this is millions streams on Spotify, we're at 12, 23, Spillways is at 55, Call Me Little Sunshine is at 75.
Ooh.
So, you know, this is one of their most streamed songs on Spotify, and I think that anybody can come out of the woodwork and say, well, it's a radio song, of course. That's not what we're talking about. We don't need that negativity. Cause this is an incredible song. The bells tolling throughout and just the overall tone of the song, it's very much, you know, Nate said, come with me, it'll all be all right. It almost feels like it's giving you the illusion of choice. It's like, you know, make the choice, but I'm not giving you another option. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very Darth Vader feeling and I'm about that for sure.
Love that. Okay, Brando.
Cerise the Softer?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not exactly, but I could see some similarities within the song structure, kind of. But also similar lyrical content and tones. Cerise is more about, like, you know, convincing you that you're hopeless without them. But this one, it's like, I'll always be there for you. So kind of similarities with that. But maybe a little bit less seductive as Cerise. But still, with, like, this is just a banger, and it is more palatable. I love the clean guitar tone here. It's so deep, rich. It you don't hear it enough, unfortunately, but I mean the song is great even as is, but that intro gets you and it hooks you. And the riff, I really love the riff. Song as a whole, fucking banger.
Andy, hit us.
I put that this is probably more seductive, in my opinion, than Cerise.
Is it?
There's
really?
Just something about the tone of the music that does it for me. And what I neglected to mention in the other songs we've just done is I've noticed it's very bright. It's very different. This is the first time for me where we've kind of entering a little bit of more Old Ghost with the lyrical content and the tone of everything. I think this was the second single that they had off the album. I'm not too sure. But also didn't want to not mention that it was Grammy nominated. And I was so defeated when they didn't get it for this song, because I think it's an amazing song. One of my favorite Ghost songs. I was just like listening to it on repeat when I first heard it. They also performed this song on Jimmy Kimmel, which yay for them. Like, who cares about like what Ty was saying? Like, let them have their sellability because they deserve it. Like, he's an amazing songwriter. You know, the composition is there. The outfits are there. Let them. And I just wish, you know, they would be embraced a little bit more, but maybe we'll get there. But I also want to add that it felt kind of anthem-y too, like with the We Will Rock You type of vibes towards the end. So that's also what I love about it. The backing vocals, especially live, just make the song even more amazing. So just one of my favorite Ghost songs.
I've noticed live watching video that they do a high note in the Call Me part instead of it being low and subtle. It's very high and in your face, which is unique. Andy, go ahead and hit us with your rank.
9.8.
I gave this bitch
a 10.
Brando.
I also gave it a 10.
T-Y.
And I also gave it a 10.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we convince Andy to rank up to a 10? Is it 10 worthy?
We haven't moved to Hunter's Moon yet.
Yeah. What are the rules? Because I'll bump it.
We haven't moved on. It's not set in
you
stone.
You can totally change it if you want.
It's because I have another song that I've deemed a 10. So in my head, I'm like, I'm doing this right now. I was like, let me see why I put that one at a 10 and not this one. And why did Cerise get a 10? That's also what's going in through my head right now. I'm just like, fuck it. Just give me get a 10.
All right.
Hell yeah.
There we go. There we go.
Yes.
That is going to be interesting.
Love that.
It's going to be interesting. We'll talk about it later. Let's go. Let's keep going.
All right, let's move on to Hunter's Moon. Brando, you're kicking it off, my guy. Talk about it.
This one took a little to grow on me. It's not bad by any means. I've just enjoyed other songs on the record more. What I do really like is some of the guitar work on this song is really neat. Honestly, that's something that I gravitated to upon all these re-listens I did to this in between, like, the last episode that we recorded in this. I would occasionally just throw it back in there to remind myself, like, yep, this and that and the other. But I would just, like I said on for Kaiserian, hear new things. And there's this cool little guitar lick in the chorus after he says Hunter's Moon. It's this like da 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 da. It's like a really neat little ditty, and it's like that's different. I like that. Pretty neat.
Andy.
So I've always felt that this song didn't really fit in the whole album. And I really wanted to give it another chance for the podcast. I was like, let me just wipe the slate clean and try it again. It is a good song, just not like one of my favorites off the album. And I still feel like it doesn't really fit. Like up until this point, all the songs have been really flowing into each other, which I like. Like as an album listen, this has been the smoothest album for Ghost so far, in my opinion. But I don't know, this one just kind of just seems on its own. I will say props to Tobias because he got into a horror movie franchise. He's a big horror fan, so that's good for him. And it brought him another audience. I literally went to the theater just to hear that song at the end because I'm not big into horror movies, not really into Halloween at all, but well, the movies, you know, so I just wanted to go and give him my support for that. But yeah, I feel like it wasn't a strong song. I don't know if it still fits or not.
I dig the pick guitar intro being overtaken by the bass and the drums. Like it starts off with that pick and then the bass doom, doom, doom. It keeps building and building and building. I like the cat and mouse game of it too, because it's like a da 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 boom 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 boom. They kind of flow back and forth into each other like they're chasing around. The layers are really good. The chaos unleashed in the chorus is awesome. Like it just like gets wild, like just explosion of emotion. The bass shift shines on this album. Sorry, I can't read my own writing. The breakaway with the chants is my part in the song. The solo is good, but way too short. And the harmonies are on point. I really dug Hunter's Moon, T.Y.
I agree with, here we are again, a lot of like individual pieces of all of you guys. This is definitely, I will agree, not my favorite song on the album. I don't think it's bad by any means. And I think this is another one that had it been maybe 30, 45 seconds longer around that 4 minute mark, I think it would not have been, I think it would have been a little too repetitive. The chorus with the drums and the vocals and the bass, everything, you know, in time with each other. I love that. It's super catchy. But yeah, I think it's, this one for me is definitely a tweener. It could go either way.
A tweener. I love that.
Yeah.
TY, hit us with that rank, bro.
7.75.
I gave her an 8.75. Andy.
I gave it an 8.
I also gave it an 8.75.
All right, moving on, we're going to Watcher in the Sky. Andy, kick it off.
So when I heard this one for the first time, I was a little bit blown away because it was like a different atmosphere that this song is setting. I love the wailing guitars. Like, oh, that's what sells it for me. I love the lyrics, that evolutionary, clever. Clever as all heck. I love him for that. I put air raid vibes, war vibes. I love the idea of, like, you know, not the idea of war, but just that setting. It's different for Ghost. Like, what are we talking about here? I noticed that this album is a little bit, could be a little more political, maybe, if you will. I think he sounds great. The bridge is amazing. The chorus is catchy, but it does get kind of boring for me, especially for some reason. This song kind of just drones on, and there's, like, especially on the vinyl cut, I think it's extended for some reason. I may be wrong. I don't really care for how it ends. Maybe if it was shorter, it might have gotten a higher rank for me, but I really love the overall message and the atmosphere that it was creating.
B.Y.
I definitely agree with Andy. I think, you know, I know I just said it, but I think this is another one of those songs that maybe you cut 45 seconds off of it, and I think it'd be pretty good. It's sitting at 23 million plays on Spotify, so it's one of their relatively more popular songs. The like vibe shift definitely kind of caught me off guard, because, like we said, Hunter's Moon feels so out of place in the first five songs, and then you roll right into this, and I listened to this one a bunch specifically because I don't really know whether I like it or not, I think.
Brando.
I love the chunkiness of the verse riff. And the catchiness of the chorus isn't as great as others, but you still find yourself just singing it along with it. You're just singing along with it, and it's catchy. With the part in this song that really hooked me was the bridge in the solo with the finger tapping on the solo. And then coming in with that, and with the searchlight, with that, like, that's kind of neat. I like this. All right, you won me. And yeah, like, I'm trying to remember, did they play this song? They played this song live at our show, right, TY?
I thought they did, but I can't remember 100%.
I liked it a lot live.
That list up.
I liked it a lot live as well. If not that show, I've watched another show from their tour this year where they played it.
Awesome. I love this song for its driving riff. It is so well sang. Like, Tobias is just in the pocket with how he's bolting all these different lines. Lyrically deep, this song does a great job of being simple, but also brutal. I love the shifty bridge into the finger tap solo. It is my last note because it is so epic in that song. Absolute yes. I'm going to go ahead and start off the ranks. 9.25. Brando.
9.25.
TY.
I'm going to give it a 7.
Andy.
8.2.
Dope, dope. All right, we're going to move on now to Dominion. It's a little shorty boy, but I think it sets it up. So let's go ahead and go into it. TY, hit us with your thoughts on Dominion.
I actually like this one. It's another one of the instrumental interludes, you know, and I think this one is, I think it's timed really well, where, or it's placed really well in the album. We've jammed out a bunch. We've had a lot of 80s vibes. Now we have something. We're going to change the tone a little bit. We're going to go into the rest of the album fresh, maybe with a little bit different perspective. And I mean, for some, here again, I know I keep bringing it up, but if this was like 4 minutes long, I don't know, maybe that would be appropriate, I guess. but no, I dig it.
Brando.
It's an intro to 20s.
Ah! Brandon just gets up and leaves. See you guys later.
I just broke Nate. I just broke him.
Oh, damn it. That was so good. He just no-sold it and looked down. I wasn't ready for the look down. That's what fucking...
It's like, oh, I'm done.
Intro to 20s. Oh, okay. I'm okay.
Looking at my notes. So when I said that, I just put my head down. And I didn't do it for comedic effect. I just, that's all I have to say about it.
Oh, okay, Andy, go ahead and throw us your thoughts.
I put Wizard of Oz vibes, like you're walking up to the Emerald City, the Emerald Castle. I don't know if horns have ever been used before in a ghost song. I don't think so. Maybe this is the first time that we're getting introduced to this. Definitely, it's an intro to 20s, but when you're listening to this for the first time, you don't know what the experience of 20s is and how that's going to change things up for us ghost fans. Mm-hmm. I like that it's not guitar-led. It's different. But a little too short, maybe a little bit longer for me. I would have bumped it up some. Gets me curious, but it's not a super strong track. But again, I agree that it was like well placed within the album.
I wrote that it's a musical interlude that just sets up 20s well. Like you guys said, the horn section sets it up and sets the mood. I think this is great for villain vibes. If I was a wrestler, this would be like, if I was a heel villain, this is the music I'm coming out to. It's fucking creepy and evil and mean and shit. I love it. I gave it a 7.1. Andy. Sorry, I can't. There we go. Yeah.
I gave it a 6.
Brando.
6.
TY.
I also gave it a 6.
6, 6, 6.
Hey, this is the episode of matching. If people match, you got drink, you'd be fucked up. I think it's happened on every song.
Good thing I got water in this cup.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go ahead and kick it off with 20s, horns, and timpani. Timpani is my shit. It's one of the first instruments I really wanted to play when I was younger, so that's super awesome to see it kill it. Epic when everything, the drums and the riff kick in. Love how Tobias sings this. The whisper response. Like, oh, you guys know, it's so good. Second verse kicks in with the marching and the vox only. I love that part. Such an intense guitar work in the song. Builds to a dope solo. The lyrics are amazing and definitely about the fall of Rome that we're currently experiencing for fucking shit, for sure. And he also, for sure. Okay. T.Y.
Man, I love the lyrics of this song. I like how political, and I do really like how, like, satirical it almost is. Like, I mean, this is a song about America, obviously. I mean, let's, even without being able to read the lyrics, it's a no-brainer. But I really like the, there's a couple lyrics, tell them all this is war and not fighting a war is for suckers. And then the kiss my assassinate. I just, there again, it's so tongue in cheek. I mean, he references, Trump's dumb ass in the middle or in the second third of the song, you know? So yeah, it's so chaotic. I didn't really know how to take it at first. But this is one definitely that really benefited from me listening to it a bunch of times. And definitely the sleeper on the album for me, I think.
Brando.
So it's got the musical and the theatrics like Rats, where Rats is more of a thriller video type musical. This one's more of the big orchestra musical type
big band.
Yes, like you go to like Broadway and you see bum bum bum, and sure. So that's definitely the. Like the vibe that I got instantly from this. On my first pass through of the album, when it first came out, this is my least favorite track on the album. Now, I think it still is, but that's saying something. Because when I rank it, it's not a bad rank. It's just my least favorite. This album is very good. And so when you have a song for me, which I deem lesser, but still gets a respectable rank, that you're doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
It just, when I'm listening to it and I'm just comparing it to the other songs, I like other songs on here a lot more than this. It is a very interesting song. It's a lot of really cool. This is like your departure, from what they have, like what they have established so far on the album, and it definitely stands out before we maybe circle back around. So it's definitely an interesting departure here.
Andy.
I wish y'all could have seen my face when we were listening to this in the band room when this came on. I was like, what is this? And then I was just like, I don't know about those horns. I don't know. Like other people have said, it's just like, it kind of grows on you. But when those drums come in and then the dark guitar, like, okay, I see what we're doing here. I will go crazy in the pit. I will throw it out to this song, you know? I wasn't too fond of the lyrics, but I think they're interesting. I do like the way he sounds. There's one line that I really, really love that I eat up. He goes, I'm number one, you're number two. You gotta go. It's work to do. I was like, yes, I do. Just tell me. Just tell it to me right now. But I think it's super fun. It's got that, like, Latin beat, almost like that reggaeton style, which I think he was talking about it in some interview. He was watching some program. It was just about, I wish I could remember the name, because it's like what he was influenced by, some underground huge dude in Brazil, South America, something, where he started thinking about using those, you know, beats. But I think it's a really fun song. It's aggressive. I love the solo. Like a really cool solo.
Hit me with your rank.
9.
Brando.
Just a second. I gave it a 7.75.
TY.
I actually gave this one an 8.
I love this song. I gave it a 10.
Oh, wow. Nate, before we go on.
Sure.
This is a quote, allegedly, from Tobias when he told Kerrang about 20s. Has a vibe of Slayer meets some sort of Missy Elliott thing.
Hell yeah.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah, very interesting.
Let's move on to the next track, Darkness at the Heart of My Love. TY, kick it off for us, bro.
I love the opening of this song. Just the harmonies and just his vocals in the beginning. It, and I don't know necessarily what it was at first, but at the first time when I sat down to hear it for our ranks, that was the first time I'd actually heard this song. I don't know how, but yeah, it. I know I said 20s was kind of the sleeper for me, but I think this is honestly my favorite on the album.
Brando.
Yeah, so that acoustic guitar, we mentioned them once before. It might have been on the previous album, or at least one of the other ones, Blind Guardian. The little bit of Blind Guardian influence here, and I'm here for it. This Tobias said that this song is about promoting people promoting all these values under the guise of being God-fearing and righteous while they practice none of it. It's for cash and power. So the song talks about indoctrination and trusting people who do not have the best of intentions. This song is your 80s power ballad, their version. And the part that gets like the just gets the tingles for me is the guitar climb in the chorus. The as it goes into to the next part of it. And like, yeah. Like we jammed this album on the way to Detroit.
Oh, hell yeah. I was gonna ask if you guys did.
And yeah, because I think originally we were planning on meeting up earlier, that following Tuesday, whatever it was, we were planning on trying to meet up that week, and I was trying to get in there listening, and I felt that I was driving. And no, this song, it climbed up on that listen. It definitely hit more feels during that. It's funny how music does that. Stuff could grow on you or grow out of favor, and that's why, you know, we're throwing a rank on it. We're putting a number on it, and if we ever did this series again, some of these numbers might change. And that's that's what's, you know, kind of cool about growth and evolution as a person, but also the things that just that you gravitate towards.
Yeah. Andy.
It's a beautiful, beautiful ballad. I think it's well put together, well produced. I love the choices of how he takes certain vocals, the whispering. My favorite part is probably when they circle back to the first verse towards the end of the song, and it's just that deep vocal comes in. And there's some whispering also that I'm not even sure exactly what it said. I know in the subreddit, it's like people are asking, do you know what this says right here? Like, is it pleasure me, whisper me? I don't know what it says, but I'm here for it. Let me see. I put two great solos, and I love the snaps, and that intro guitar is like a really nice change of pace from all the crazy stuff we've gotten so far. And I think it's a good song for Ghost to have in their repertoire.
I wrote, what a perfect and beautiful love song. Tobias sounds so in the pocket when he's singing this. There's just a fluidity about how he uses his voice that's flawless. The finger snap is great. It keeps you in rhythm of the actual song, but also adds a little weight to the things that are being talked about. Like, don't forget, I'm with you always, you know, like it's just like, it's almost like programming. The returning harpsichord makes for a perfect layer. The solo is so 80s ballad. Mm-hmm. Definitely makes me emotional. I think it would probably break me to see this in concert. epic outro at all levels. And I love that there's like with the melody harmony of the song, it's like, da 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 da. And then the guitar, like while the vocals do that part, it da na. And then like that, I love the call response that they do there at the end, because it's like it just adds depth and the weight, and then they like have this very almost like dropping a pebble into the water ending where it just a very light splash and we're done. Loved it. I gave this one a 9.5. Andy, what's your rank?
9.4.
Brando.
8.75.
T.Y.?
I'm a sucker for ballads, man. I gave this one a 10.
Hell yes.
Yo.
You guys remember when those like the ballads greatest hits came out?
Monster ballads.
Monster ballads. That's what it was, dude. I don't remember. I can't count the amount of times I'd like wake up. It'd be like 2 o'clock in the morning. The TV would be like blasting.
Yeah.
And it'd be like White Lion or something. And it's like, oh my god. And then you'd sit there and listen to it for a minute before you went back to sleep, you know, because they were all bangers.
Hell yeah, you would.
Always bangers.
Always.
All right, let's move on to the next track, which is Griftwood. Andy, please lead us off.
This had been my favorite song on Impera, like hands down. It's an earworm, that riff. I put that it's another great Ghost combo song that it checks a lot of boxes for me. It's poppy, has dark lyrics. I love the yazz and the breakdown for me. I mean, breakdowns, that slow pace, and then the Holy Mother. It does something to me every time. And I cannot resist. I'm your rock baby coming from Papa. I'm sorry. that's just how it goes, you know, for me. I like the key change. And also it sounds like another like fun 80s song. So it's definitely one. I've ranked it a little bit higher than some of the other ones just because I like the pacing and I like the overall tone of it.
Why?
Is this Van Halen? That guitar in the intro or in the opening of the song, that's Van Halen, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't put a bunch of notes for this one, but I will tell you what, I can definitely see why this would be anybody's favorite song, because 18 million streams on Spotify is not, it's not a good representation of how good this song is.
No.
I think it's really, really good. It's one of those that it's one, here, let me look real quick. There's four songs on the, out of 12 on the whole album that are over 4 minutes long. Everything else is sub 4 minutes, and I don't think this suffers at all for that. I think it's awesome.
Brando.
This is my hidden gem on the record. This was on my first listen, this is the song that was like, I kept coming back to. And I loved Call Me Little Sunshine, you know? I thought that was great. But then it was competing with this, and I'm like, but mm-hmm. they're too different. They're so mm-hmm. different styles of songs that there was room for both of them on my plate. And the intro guitar, the such a catchy chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, no, this is very catchy. I love the solo on this, the way it builds, and then the double, yeah. Da, 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 da. And then it goes right back in the pre-chorus. I'm your rock baby. Yeah. Oh man. Like just, it's so simple and yet effective. I love it.
All right. So this tune to me has such an undeniable groove, but now it's time for a little bit of a story time. I don't even know who knows this story, but this is great. Griftwood is part of our show. Let that sit for a second. You guys are probably wondering how that even makes sense. Andy's even looking like, what? So I happened to find, I was lit out of my gourd. It's like 2:30 in the morning. I'm searching on YouTube, ghost stuff. And someone rating ghost songs pops up. And I was like, they're going to rate like all the fucking and high, like the poppy hits, you know, and everything. And it was Andy. And the one that fucking got me, I was like, this chick knows what she's talking about. She talks about Griftwood in that video. And I was like, I'm going to try my damnedest to make at least one episode happen, because that, you know what you're fucking talking about, because Griftwood is my shit too. And I love that song, and it's highly underrated. And you want to console the griever is like, ugh, that is just the line. The shift into Holy Mother just gives me such, oh, there's so much movement in that. The solo is dope. It's short, but it screams. I love the key change. They're here the whole song. And
it's that thing I mentioned.
They bump.
I mentioned this in another episode, Nate.
Hey.
Uh-oh. I broke Nate.
How dare you?
I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry, fellas.
Oh, he's back.
I'm back. I'm here.
There you are. Sorry, Nate. I got excited.
But yeah, okay. So I guess we're going to give ranks while I'm still here. 9.45 is my rank.
Oh, okay. I will just say, I said that in a previous episode, where how easily he can make us like just make a song even more epic just from a key change. Like it's mm-hmm. boom. But oh damn. Okay. That was so stupid. Why didn't I think of that? Anyway, yeah. No, I gave this song a 10.
Dope. TY
9.5.
Andy
9.6.
Wow, we are all in the world right there. That's like, that's going up there in the top 10. Okay, so we're finished with Griftwood. Let's brief this one. Bite of Passage, Brando.
It's an intro for the last track. Hard to rank. Literally an intro.
Yep.
It's not as funny when you do it twice, but yes.
Was it me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just put Vampire because it reminds me of Vampire and that title is pretty sick, but I didn't realize how short it was. I was expecting it to go a little bit longer. I did put that it reminds me of Spokesonaut and Double Church. Should it have stayed together with Respite? I don't know, but it's okay. And like, it's too short to have too much to say about it.
Just make this Respite's intro. That's literally my only notes. TY.
I mean, I have a rank and I don't think it's necessarily fair. We've talked about this a bunch for a lot of stuff, but I mean, I was going to ask the three of you as musicians. I'm not a musician. What is the point of, what is the point in having a 7 minute long, basically outro track with a 30 minute intro track taking up a spot that you could have, you know, there's a song that they could have put in there that maybe would have been, I don't know. I just don't really understand the choice, I guess. And I was kind of interested in your guys' opinions on why they would do that.
For me, I think it's the idea of you're setting up what's to come, right? And I love that you can do that. And maybe, you know, it also is spawned from, you have to think that all musicians, regardless of if we want to admit it, have some ego, right? Because that's the concept. I'm on stage. Look at me. Do this.
Sure.
But when you're writing from a different headspace. And I mean, Brando and I think have experienced this where a decision is made to set something up or to do something mainly because it's fucking cool and you just want to see it executed.
Sure.
So maybe he had the idea of the title Bite of Passage and really could, he kept trying to force it and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. And then had this little ditty and went, fuck, that's super cool, but what am I going to do? Nothing. That's mm-hmm. what, 36 seconds of nothing. I guess I'll just throw it here and it'll work. And it does, I guess. But I, like I said in my notes, just make this Respite's intro. It just makes it, it could just be an additional build because truthfully, if you're listening, there is no variance. It is one track mm-hmm. right into the next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It rolls right into the next to the point that I
right
can tell.
Into it. So yeah. TY, give us your rank, bro.
6.
I gave it a 6. Andy.
Also 6.
Hell yeah.
Brando.
9. it's the 6 upside down.
Hell yeah.
No, I found it very hard to rank this because I just considered this an extension of the last track.
Yeah.
And like, if I put a lower rank on this than that, it really brought down my whole album rank. And I like, that is something that I will add, TY, before we move on to the album closer here. Mm-hmm. Some of these little tracks or intro tracks or in between tracks, just like the Van Halen series, it can lower the entire album rank big time. Mm-hmm. Because if they're not good and you don't find them enjoyable, then it's just, it drags it down. Or it can be like, that was epic, I love it. And it ends up with usually somewhat of a mixed opinion. But for something like, so you have Dominion, which that would go, that should that be an extension of 20s, or is 20s too much of a single to have that long of an intro? I think that's another part of reason why they might, why Ghost essentially might split them up, is that they can be treated by radio if they get picked up for that we can play the track without a long intro and that we don't have to have a radio edit of the song like they used to do back in the 80s or whatever.
Love that.
Gotcha. Yeah, by no means was I trying to get us sidetracked or...
Oh, no, it's a great question.
No, yeah. But by no means was I trying to say it in a way that, you know, Bite of Passage is bad by any means, but we talked about it a lot. It's tough to put a number to it when, like you said, it's going to bring the whole... Not that the overall score really matters in the grand scheme of whether we like the music or not.
Sure.
It's just an unfortunate side effect.
It just sucks when you want to rank every track and you have a whole track dedicated to just an intro to a song. And and it makes it difficult.
Absolutely agree. Let's go ahead and get into Respite on the Spatial Field. Brando, start us off.
Man, what an epic closer for this album. This has a mixture of the 80s and aggression a little bit here with a really cool, catchy chorus. Do any of you guys, like, we've referenced other 80s songs or artists when we, like, for inspiration. Not that he's directly ripping off them, but just giving a kind of a little tip of the hat to, you know, you were part of my inspiration. Let me repay you with this. Does the intro and verse vibe, like, not one to one, but Hysteria, Def Leppard?
I definitely caught it.
Oh my God, yes, the picking, that tone of the 80s guitar.
Yeah. But there's another band that I found in this for the pre-chorus and the bridge. And when we were driving up to Detroit, I asked my wife, I said, as soon as the song starts, I'm like, who does this remind you of? And of course, she's not as knowledgeable about 80s bands or anything like that. But I said, you know, 80s, you know, arena rock. And she's like, she guessed it on like the second or third Def Leppard. Mm-hmm. Like, yep, there it is. And then once I said the song and sang a bar of that, she's like, oh, yep, that, yeah, I get it.
Sure.
But then there was another band, and she had to listen to it a few times, and she didn't, she was just about to say it. She almost got it. And I'm curious to see if any of you pick it up, because I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let you guys think about it and talk about what you guys have to think.
All right, let's go to Andy. Throw it down.
Well, I'll just start off, because I don't really know the names of a lot of the bands.
Sure. Okay.
I'll just say that this song absolutely stole me away. It was not one that I was planning on ranking pretty high until I started listening to it for the podcast. And I was like, oh, this is Tobias waving his talented flag in our faces and planting it firmly on the ground, says, I'm here, bitches. Like, this is the culmination of everything he's worked for. And it just makes me so proud. I put vibe check, lyrics check, music check, album closer check. Oh my God, solo, the best one, ? I'm in love with this song, and I kept getting surprised every time I would listen to it over and over again. And I love how it ties back into Imperium and just We're Here Again. I'm like, this guy, he's got me wrapped around his finger with this music. I love this song.
Oof. Always in my head is my first note. I'm going to break Brando here because I hear a lot of different 80s music, and I don't, there's one that I don't even know the band. I just know what it makes me think of, and I'll get to that second. But musically speaking, part of this song makes me think of the Mario 64 water level. I know that's fucking so weird, but there's just like a fluid flowiness to the way the intro parts it gives it to me. I don't know how to explain that to you guys. The pre-chorus is so epic. The chorus makes me legit cry, bro. Like, that, like, those lyrics are insanely powerful, and the reality of the world, like, nothing will really ever last forever, and just be at peace with it, and just, you know, accept your fate. What a sad but perfect chorus. The middle solo is good, leading into the, I put loving every minute of it riff, because it's like da 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 da, and I don't know why I heard that, it gave me that. The low end builds the section here, and then I love towards the end that he ascends. We all stood there in awe. We had to pretend we didn't see what we saw. Boof. Lyrically, that last verse just kills it. The outro is so fucking badass. TY, give it to me.
I can't say it better than that, Nate. This one definitely caught me by surprise, because as a lot of people listening have probably figured out, that sometimes the extra chunky long songs maybe aren't for me. And this one couldn't be farther from that. It's one of those that I think that as soon as it starts, it's gotcha. And then you're along for the ride the whole way. And I really appreciate that. And it's kind of sad, you know, another one of those metrics that we look at, it's only got 13 million plays compared to like 20s. It's got 16 million. And I don't think 20s is a better song than this by any means, as much as I like it, you know. So that's one of those unfortunate trapped in the internet math kind of things that it doesn't necessarily represent how good this song is.
Well, and people haven't found the song necessarily yet. I will say one thing. I noticed that they recently, towards the end of their tour cycle, put this in the cycle. So they've been playing this live, which I think is going to give it more exposure. People will find it.
It was
other epic. Things will take hold of it. It'll become a TikTok trend. You guys got to see.
I believe they closed with it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think they closed the main set with it, and then we did. We headed out as they were starting the.
We stayed all the way until the final song of the main set, and then they did three encores after we left.
Yeah, they did three Whoa. Encore. Yeah, the Square Hammer, I think. And
I'm actually gonna pull the dance. Set list up since we've talked about it a couple times.
Maybe we could talk about that during that middle section where I'm wrapping up.
That's what I was thinking.
Before we give our ranks for this last song on the album, though, so that other other band that I was talking about, Nate. Wasn't an 80s band. In fact, they're kind of out of left field. I didn't expect this, but for the pre-chorus, that's the part that when he's like, when the dreams that you dread, So the guitar, I'm going to badly hum it. Da 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 da. And then that riff that you were mentioning, that it's Coheed and Cambria.
Yeah.
Coheed and Cambria.
How did I not pick up on that?
And I've said that a couple times, actually, early in other Ghost songs where they've done things that give me Coheed vibes. And I mean, I don't know if Tobias is per se inspired by Coheed.
No, but
he does them real good, you know?
Like, well, when it's to the point where I'm not a massive Coheed fan, but I recognized it. And it was like, interesting. Because it was, again, it was one of those things that I caught. I listened to this thing so much in between our recording the episodes, I caught stuff that I never caught before. And it was when one of those listens, it was before the Detroit trip listen, but it was like the one before that. Cause I wanted to show her. I'm like, this song has two different bands, influences in it. And I want you to see if you can guess who they are. And I was so happy that she almost gets Coheed because I'm like, all right, then it's not just that obvious that I couldn't figure it out, that my wife, who likes Ghost, but isn't even as knowledgeable as I am, or nowhere near as knowledgeable as Nate and Andy or anybody, but no, she just enjoys the music. She doesn't know the vast list of songs that they have that are just really awesome. But this song tracks among them. Nate, do you want to throw down a rank? Nate?
My rank is 9.55. Oh, hit me with it.
Oh, God.
Wait, whoa, whoa.
Oh, calm down. Slow down. Whoa.
Just happened?
Well, you froze, and I thought we lost you, and then you just came in like and just said it really fast, and I was like, I'm not ready.
Your audio got sped up like 700%. So not only was it super fast, but it sounded like very aggressive. Because Brandon was like, Nate, are you there? Oh, shit, I think we lost Nate. And then you just came in like the Kool-Aid man. But no, for me anyway.
9.55.
What?
It's going to be a 10 for me.
A 10
9.55 for Nate and a 10 for me.
TY. Andy, what'd you give it?
10.
10.
Hell yeah.
I also gave it a 10. Nate.
Hell yeah.
Okay, 10. It's a 10. It's a 10. It's a fucking 10. Let's be real.
Okay.
I didn't want to be crazy giving it a 10. I thought I was alone, and I wrote 9.55 because it's like,
nope.
You know, it's up there.
Nope. But this definitely means we have some talking to do.
Once
we get there. So I want to thank everybody for joining us along for this ride. This has been a great episode to record because this was literally like Cerise is the song that hooked me. This is the album that hooked me. And going back, listening to other stuff post this album, but also for this rank has infinitely increased my fandom of this band. This band's really fun, and it's to the point where I want to go see them like the next time they come around, and I want to take my wife because I think she would have loved the show. But are you ready for the final results for the Impera rank? We're not at the very end yet. We still have the EP and the final results here on the show, but we're going to get this through. My ranking was an 8.979.
Okay.
The reason why is it that many points? Well, my prequel rank was 8.975. I'm literally
.004
more than prequel. This is where I was like at the point where I was like putting my ranks in, and I still hadn't decided what I was going to put by the passage. I couldn't put a rank on it. And so I think this album's better than prequel.
Just barely.
But then I was at this struggle with my mentality and my mathematics. I'm like, so I just have to treat the last one as an extension of the song. I had this internal debate with myself about how to rank that. But anyway, I was Impera 8.979. Nate, yours is 8.89. Tyler, 8.29. And Andy, 8.56. We're all right there.
Mm-hmm.
And with a master rank of 8.68.
Hell yeah.
The highest highest ranking songs on the album were Call Me a Little Sunshine and Respite in the Spital Fields, both tied with a 10. And the least ranked song, the lowest ranked song was Dominion, which was just, it's not even, it's a track. It's an intro.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. The lowest rank was just one of those, but that was Dominion 6.2. So that's Impera.
Okay. And now we're going to move on to Phantomime. Now to set this up before Phantomime itself came out there, we did get the very first track from it, which was Jesus, He Knows Me. It kind of blew the doors off this thing, got people stoked for the release of this creepy EP like they like to do. We're going to go ahead and start right off the bat. See No Evil. Andy, give me your thoughts.
So just as a general, I guess, start to this EP, it wasn't my favorite batch of songs, just because I don't think I'm into the type of songs Tobias was covering here for the most part. This one was one of the ones that I didn't really care for, but it was still higher than some of the other ones. It's a cool old song. It's got a nostalgic feel to it. He sounds very crisp, and I like that. And you can tell that, or I could feel like I can tell he had a lot of fun recording it. Just this whole EP has just been, oh, these are songs I like, and he decided to do them, which I love that about him. I probably wouldn't listen to this song without Ghost, just because I'm not into that style of music. And I love the overlapping voices at the end of the solo and solo. That's what I have on that. Not too many notes.
Why?
I like a lot of what you said there, Andy. I think the guitar and the vocals are very, very clean throughout the entire song. The solo's pretty snazzy, I do say. But I agree with you. I think that this is definitely not my standard vibe. And I don't find myself, like a lot of times, I'm a big fan of either shuffle play or listening to albums individually. I don't normally like to listen to like three or four songs and then skip to something else. And this definitely isn't going to find its way in like my big shuffle playlist, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other Ghost songs that I think, or even the covers that I would definitely put in this place.
Brando.
It's a decent cover, better in this style than the original, but it doesn't do a whole lot for me. It's not offensive to the ears, but it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a television cover. We didn't say that. Fun. It's pretty true to the original. There's not really a lot to say about it. It is, there is a tone about it, and I don't know the tone. I mean, I feel like it's not meant to, but the tone is supposed to be kind of in the same vein as Jesus, He Knows Me. Like, not to say that it's an extension of the concept, but I can see them being in the same plane, and that's, you know, they're probably not necessarily equal. I gave this a 6.25. Brando.
I gave this a 7.5.
T.Y.
I gave it a 7.
Andy.
7.
All right.
Hold on. Give me one second, Brando.
Okay.
I wrote really tiny. I actually wrote 7.25. You guys can see that.
So you missed.
I don't know if you can see that. I misspoke on my own rank. Sorry.
Oh, okay. That's just fine.
How dare you?
Okay. Damn me. T.Y., talk about Jesus, He Knows Me, which is a Genesis cover.
Internet sensation. Have you heard of TikTok? Because TikTok has heard of this song.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people in the world know this song because of that. I think it's a great song. I think it's or a great cover. I think it's perfectly timed. Lengthwise, I really like the up tempo. I think it's with the guitars. I think it's really fun. And 28. It's sitting just under 28 million streams on Spotify. So definitely the most on this EP by millions and millions.
Crazy. All right, Brando.
So this is a Genesis cover that I had heard before. This is one of, like, other than Sandman, maybe. Oh, and then there was that one, Missionary Man. I had heard it, but I didn't remember it until I'd heard it, and I thought that, like, this sounds like the, you know, like Eurythmics. And it turns out I was right. I'm like, oh, I remember this one. Anyway, no, this one I definitely did know, but what threw me off is that they definitely changed the style of it, because the original one isn't heavy. It's pretty chill. But here's where the fun starts. What does Ghost typically do when they cover a song? They take a song and they usually kind of form it into their style, and it becomes something new. They kind of did that here, but what I like even more is that they turned this into a Genesis song if it was heavy. Because when it's heavy, it still sounds like Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like,
yeah,
huh, and I thought that is just wild to me, and really kind of like an ingenious way to approach it. Like, man, I wonder if he thought this song could be better if it was like maybe Genesis 5 years earlier, you know, and then maybe if it had that kind of sound, and then we could kind of ghostify it a little bit. Like that to me was actually more cool than the fact that they just like ghostified another song. They did something different with the cover, and that is inspiring to me.
Love it. Andy.
This song was a shock, but it's like the perfect song choice for Ghost just because of the lyrical content. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to run with it. And they did. One of the most shocking Ghost music videos ever. I was like, excuse me, but we're here for it. I did not know the original before, but I went and listened to it. I was like, oh, did it justice, made it Ghost. Made it so catchy and heavy. I love the vocals and the at the certain parts, you know. Such a beefy song. What else did I put? Oh, I love the ending. It has a very resounding ending. I just think it's a super fun song, so colorful, right on brand for them.
Man, they made a great Christian rock church song from a Genesis cover, if I've ever heard one, and spicified the fucking. There's a money shot in the fucking music video, essentially. I was not expecting that in real time when I was watching on Easter morning.
Yep, that's Hell another yeah. thing. Easter morning.
and I was like, wow, okay, we went there. But yeah, love it. They took chances on the song. I did not know that it had TikTok fame, so that's pretty dope. I just, as soon as this came out, I ate it up. I was like, new Ghost, fuck yeah, this is great. I'm excited. Then they announced Phantom Mind was coming, and there was these songs. And then I think, I'm not quite sure the timing is somewhere around when Andy and I started conversing about getting her into the podcast. And we both said something to the effect of, like, Whitney Houston cover. What the fuck? We're going to get there. But let's see. I'm the last next one. So I'll give you my rank 9.25, Brando.
9.75.
Go ahead and give it to Sandy.
9.
And TY.
9.5.
Right there in the circle. I think that might be. Yeah, that's pretty high. It's pretty highly ranked for as far as covers go. Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to move on to the Stranglers cover that Ghost did for Hanging Around. And I'm just going to take it. The Doors, The Doors, The Doors.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fade to Black solo? Because that definitely, they stole some Fade to Black solo in that their music that happens. But yeah, I mean, I think they did a fun job covering it. It's a little bit of a different jam, but it doesn't really go anywhere. It's kind of one dimensional. TY.
I didn't have a whole lot of notes about this one. It's just kind of a standard jam song. Ghost definitely put their spin on it, but I don't think it's anything wild.
All right, and we got Brando.
It's cool enough, but doesn't do much for me at all. Like, yeah, like you said, it's pretty one-dimensional.
Andy.
I put Old School Vibes. It actually gave me a little Blue Oyster Cult. Mm-hmm. Ghost did do it better, ooh, not by much. Didn't really jam too much, even though I was like, I was supposed to review this for the podcast. It's like, I was struggling with some of these songs, man. I was just like, I ain't feeling this at all.
All right, let's get your rank.
7.1.
Brando.
Hold on 1 second. My finger missed the point, so you almost rated that song a 71.
Highly rated amongst Andy's.
Infamous. 7, Nate. I gave it a 7.
Okay, TY?
I gave it a 7 as well.
I also gave it a 7.
Nice.
Hey. And we are now to Phantom of the Opera. Brando, kick it off.
Oh, this is one of my favorite Deano era Iron Maiden tracks. Like, when you listen to Iron Maiden, if you guys aren't aware, the original singer was on the first two albums, and then Bruce Dickinson, who is the most popular, he's the vocalist of Iron Maiden, Run to the Hills, Number of the Beast, you know, all that stuff. That's him. And Deano is a much different vocalist. He was not that big power metal, soaring, high-pitched. He was more of a punk-style vocalist. And it was weird, but it worked. And some of these tracks, like Wrathchild and Prowler and those, but Phantom of the Opera was like their first like attempt at like real epicness. And some of the technical prowess that you need to play this song, because the guitar and bass are playing that riff at the same damn time.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. It's a little over the top, but also I'm a sucker for a good gallop in my metal. I love the gallop. I love it. I love it. But the thing is, though, they really didn't ghostify this song. It's a really faithful one-to-one, and they don't do that very often. But I'm also not at all offended by that, because I love this song, and they did it tremendously well. Like, good on them. Iron Maiden is a bitch to cover. Mm-hmm. Nate and I know. We didn't do an easy one either. We did a
fucking Fear of the Dark. I don't know why we did that to ourselves.
No, I don't know. We should have did Fly to Icarus. It was easy. But no, this is up there.
Too late now, brother.
Yeah, I know. Phantom of the Opera is up there. It is. It's a long time too late. But I love this track, and I love their version.
Andy.
So I'll be first to admit, I was disappointed this was not the musical Phantom of the Opera. So, because, you know, that wouldn't probably fit within Phantom Mime, but, like, that's what me and all the girlies were concerned about. Oh, we wanted to hear him sing these lines of the Phantom. Mm-hmm. I am I like a few Iron Maiden songs, but this era I'm not really into, or I don't have a lot of knowledge of. So I wasn't into the original. I think they do a really good job, though, of just like having a faithful cover. They do bring out a lot of the sounds a lot more, because I noticed on the recording I was listening to, everything's muted, or it's just like the thing that happens back in the 80s or what have you. Mm-hmm. So just the quality made me hold on to the song a little bit longer, but it's just not really my thing yet again, unfortunately, but I can appreciate what he was trying to do, pay homage to them.
Man, you guys are killing it with a lot of the thoughts. There's a lot of movement in this song. Brando talked about the technical prowess to play these songs. It is insane. And my favorite is there's a transition where it's actually the first main transition of the song. Keep your distance, walk away. Don't take his bay yate. The vocals just... Tobias killing it yet again. Like,
yeah.
Ugh. It's so angular, the pivot there. But overall, they kill it. The solo is just well done. The tones they chose for the cover are great. It is one I often find myself going back to just to jam because it is so fucking fun and good to hear. I also got to hear Paul Di'Anno like 5 feet away from me attempt to do this song and butcher it. So,
bummies.
Well, to be fair, he's way past his prime. This was during the era where he was touring in the Americas illegally. Let's keep it real. That's a real story. And then he played this little bar in Tolono that we had played like a week or two before, Brando. And like he's from, like I said, me to my fucking ring light. And for every song, he's smoking a cigarette, swear to God. Song, he's like, I got a little bit of problems with my throat, so I'm not going to sing this one so good. And then he'd just wreck it and not feel bad because he's saying a smoker's cough is why he can't practice properly. So let's keep it real. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't give a fuck. He's getting paid. You know, like that's what he was doing. He was making that money. But I digress. T.Y., give us your thoughts, brother.
I won't add a whole lot. I think I'm an Iron Maiden fan, and the fact that each one of us has brought it up, the fact that they did this cover so faithful and true, and it sounds so awesome with modern recording equipment, and just I love every bit of every part of what you guys said, and sorry, I had a stroke. 8 million plays on Spotify right now.
He gone.
Brandon gone. He left. Brandon has left the chat.
Did he die?
It was just a nonchalant way that you're like, sorry, I had a stroke.
yeah. Well, the tism, Brandon, yeah. But it's the ADHD for me. So yeah. There's so many thoughts going on in my head at the same time. That sometimes there's a little like crossing guard that walks out in the middle and it's just like, hold up, dog. Wait a minute.
Slow down.
Something ain't right here. But, yeah, I mean, it's a fucking Iron Maiden jam, man. The guitars, the drums, like you said, the fact that the drums and the bass are going in time with each other at the same time. Absolutely incredible.
Would you rank it, T.Y.?
8.5.
And Nate? Is Nate with us?
He's going to come again.
He moved forward and paused.
Okay, Andy, we'll go to you next.
7.3.
I gave this track a 10.
Hell yeah.
I just want to say, while we wait for Nate to get back, which... he hopefully will be back at this point. I really thought it was neat choice for a cover to go Di'Anno era, because I mentioned how different his vocal style is to Bruce Dickinson. Bruce would be a bitch to try and match. He is challenging. And Tobias is a great singer. He's a great frontman. Mm-hmm. But then I feel like he would be potentially like struggling. Mm-hmm. To get there for, and I mean, depending on the song, for of course, but I feel like his voice, because like it lends itself well to the Di'Anno era, because it kind of lets that era sound a little bit different and maybe even a little bit with a little bit more technique. to it and can he sound like himself. Hopefully we can get him, Nate, back into the groove here, because I would hate to get this far in and then have to do some finagling.
We only have one song left, Nate. Come on.
Oh, no. Well, technically, we got two.
That's what, you know, I'm on Phantomime.
Yeah, you are right. You are correct. But I will take this time, and Nate's going to be a big part of this conversation as well, but I have done the tabulations for the top 10 Ghost songs.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, there he is.
We will see how that changes. Hey. Nate, there you are.
Nate.
Back again.
All right, quickly, Nate. What's your rank for
Nate? Nate is back. Fuck the internet.
Yeah.
My rank is 8.75. Fucking goddamn it.
Okay.
I'm so mad.
So Andy gave it a 7.3, and I gave it a 10. So that's where that.
Ty, what's Ty give it?
8.5.
Oh, dope, rad. We're on. We Don't Need Another Hero.
Yes, we are.
It's a Whitney Houston cover.
Tina Turner.
Is it Tina Turner?
It's Tina Turner.
Why do I keep saying Whitney Houston?
Because you're high.
I don't know why that's in my head.
Because you're Nate Phillips.
Because you're high.
I'm also frustrated. That's true. That is true.
That is true. Actually, you're a little flustered.
And I didn't write this one down. Usually I write who does the cover. So Tina Turner, my bad. This is We Don't Need Another Hero. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kick it off. Honestly, like I said, kind of alluded to earlier, this is the one I was most intrigued by when they announced the track listing for Phantomime. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, Tina Turner, dope. What are they going to do with that? And then my thought was like, okay, but isn't that the song from Mad Max, Thunderdome?
Yeah.
And wait, what are they going to do? Like, I was so, like, not sure if I was going to be about it. And let me tell you, certified banger. Go ahead and hit us with it, T.Y.
It is what a funky tune, man. I did not totally taken by surprise because I didn't realize this was a Tina Turner cover until I started listening to it. I looked it up. And absolutely, it starts out super... like just jazzy and really funk feeling, and then just the drums and the guitar and everything, you know, kind of elevates in the middle third of the song, and yeah, absolutely solid. What a good cover,
Brando.
And this may be the most popular song other than Sandman, popular 80s song that they have covered. Because I knew this one going in. I had heard it before. And I, too, was taken by surprise. Even if you didn't know I knew it, by how well they pulled it off. Mm-hmm. The way that he sings it and the way that it's overall presented, very well done.
Andy.
I probably squealed when I read the track list and I was like, what? Because I watched Mad Max with my siblings over and over again, you know, when we were growing up. And I was like,
yeah.
No way. This is like the pinnacle of all, for me, of the 80s songs, right? And I did a reaction video to this when it was supposedly leaked by French radio when Tobias was giving an interview. It was played in the background. So a very popular Ghost internet person, Slav Ghoul, released this on Tumblr, so that was how I was able to listen to it. Sans the intro, but I was just completely taken aback by it, blown away by the vocals, the build-up. Mm-hmm. And I have in my notes that maybe Tobias's version and Tina's version, they're in separate categories. I know it's the same song, but I love both. And it made me emotional listening to that song, just where he comes in, because it hit a lot of like places in my heart why I love Ghost and how I got into the band. And my other notes are the lyrics suit Ghost and Papa very well. It's emotional, triumphant, and he sounds like he has fun. He sounds so good. Like, I'm so proud and so impressed of how far he's come from Ritual era to here. Like, he can do almost any song. So I really enjoy this track.
What's your rank?
10.
Let's see, Brando.
9.75.
TY.
9.5.
10.
We God, all do great, different little dances.
Cover, like, you know, I don't dance. Let's not do that again on camera. People will never watch this fucking show.
No, you need to do that so people can watch.
Oh, it's cringe react worthy. Okay, cool. Someone recently told me that we need to have a TikTok where we have like different parts of one of us or all of us talking, yeah, and then TikTok. I don't know how to do that, so. But anyways, after we got the pantomime, it wasn't what, 2 months maybe total later. It was midsummer this year. It was when Insidious 6 came out.
Mm-hmm.
Red something, Red Door, Red Death. I don't know what the fuck it is.
The Red Door. Yeah, it's like right at the end of September.
September? Nuh-uh. Insidious came out before that, right? Or am I crazy? Stay came out September.
July 7th is when the song came out.
Okay. Thank you. I was like, wow, I feel like I time traveled. I'm not. I feel like I know that song way better than only having 2 months to listen to it. Okay, let's go ahead and get right into it. This is a Shakespeare Sisters cover, Stay. I want Andy's thoughts first. Let's do it.
Again, props. First, give props. So he got involved in another horror franchise. He's living out his dreams, you know, slowly creeping his way into the movie business. But Patrick Wilson's vocals, like, I didn't realize who he was until I mm-hmm. went back. I'm like, oh, I have seen this guy before. Like, I'm not into, like, the horror stuff, but, oh, the Phantom of the Opera also. It's like, he sounds so good. And you're just waiting for Tobias to come in. And when he does, it just meshes perfectly. And then when they're doing their different vocals together, I'm like, oh, that is, like, match made in heaven. I really enjoyed it. I love how angelical it is. And just the idea that this was played at the end of a horror film, it kind of made me curious, like, what the overall message was, you know, of this movie. I also added that it has got some more 80s vibes to it. But I love this version more than the other version, his Tobias' single version that came out, like, afterwards. Like, this is just a great song.
You kind of took most of what I was going to say. I just think that when they sing together, it hits on an emotional level that's like very like raise the hair on your fucking arms. Mm-hmm. Like if it doesn't get you in the back of your throat, like you're kind of a soulless individual or you just don't like good music. I don't know. One of those two is probably true. There could be a third option. I haven't really figured it out yet. But anyways, I just think that it is such a lovely, different left field cover. And then with Patrick Wilson, like, who knew he had pipes on him like that dog? Uh-oh.
It's your lagging. You sound like a robot.
No.
Did something just break?
It's okay.
Did I break?
Keep going. Please. Fight through it, Nate.
I don't think it's a thing. It's okay.
Push through. It's all right.
Ford the river.
Anyways, yeah, I loved this one. Give it to us, Brando.
Very fun and interesting cover, and the original lends itself very well to Ghost style. Like they're very true to the stock to the original of it, and it sounds like if you didn't know it was a cover, like it was Ghost. The weird thing is though, from the moment I heard it, I felt like I had heard it before, but I couldn't place it. And then I went to the original, and I watched a video. And I recognize the video, but I don't know where I would have seen it.
Like the music video you're
saying? Yeah. Like the girl singing over I remember that. Like I'm like, oh, when did I see this? Was this on like a VH1 or something? Like,
sure.
Cause I don't know if it was ever like good enough to be on MTV, but maybe VH1 back in the day.
Sure.
But no, this is awesome. This is very emotional, very impactful. Delivery, and like has been said with the Patrick Wilson version, like it gets heavy, man. It gets up in there, and the last few covers that we talked about here, like, man, such good stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
This is one of the. Oh, sorry. This is one of those things. you know, I've brought it up, like, people just trashing Ghosts because of the mainstream stuff, or we've talked about the Scooby-Doo chase music and all the stuff that internet trolls say. And as far as the people that don't like covers and stuff, what a emotion inducing treat that all those people are depriving themselves of. Because I'll tell you right now, I like this version 100 times better than the single version. Just like Andy said, I think this is way better. It feels more complete. Especially when they're singing together and all that. Here we are again, another banger of a cover that a band that I didn't know did badass covers has done, and what a treat, you know.
Well, now that we're here, TY, hit us with your rank.
I'm gonna give it a 9.5.
Brando.
10.
I gave it a 9. Andy.
9.4.
Hey.
That means it's a good one.
All right, guys. Well, that's it. We're here. Ranked all of them tunes. Now we're at the spot in the show where Brandon's going to go contabulation. So, I'm going to actually hit TY with a question. You're a newer Ghost fan. Of all the songs, all the albums, what's the one that surprised you most that you even now are like, I got to go fucking back and listen to this one, even though it may be, you know, off of Genesis or off of Opus or, you know, maybe later, you know?
Man, I tell you. As far and I don't have to think about it a whole lot. The first one for sure is one of the last checks. There are tracks that we just ranked. It's Rights. That song is so good. And as far as the other one, I'm looking at the list right now. I don't know, Nate. I might have to think about that one for a little bit.
Okay, well, I'll pass the question then over to Andy and let her fill a second with this thought. Andy, you're now a longtime Ghost fan. You've been through their discography a little bit more, with fine-tooth comb of all the songs. And have you found one that you actually realized you did not like nearly as much as maybe the initial hype?
That one I'm gonna have to go back. That's like asking, okay, what are the lowest rated Ghost songs? You know what? No, I still stand by Zombie Queen. I feel like I still don't have that one. I appreciate it, but I don't jam out to it. I barely even listen to it. You know, that's the one where it still doesn't hit for me.
Understandable. I mean, I think for me, I learned that Ghost is like cheese bread, right? You learn to appreciate the textures and the tastes and the variables the more you put it on your palate, and the longer you sit with them, the more you'll appreciate the kind of music that they produce. But I've slowly leaked this into my father's ears, and I notice him going, who's this? And I'm like, yeah, he gets it. He doesn't know why he gets it, but he gets it, you know. And I'm still waiting for the, like, are they talking about Satan a lot? Like, because, you know, he's cool like that. He's not going to be, like, freaked out about it, but it's, you know, possibly a hilarious conversation that could be had. But like I told Brando and TY initially, we had just finished the Alice in Chains rank, and something in me said we have to do something else. And this is the one that called out to me, definitely. I do have a follow up question for Andy, because, you know, who knows her next appearance on our show. are there other bands you would want to rank them all? You know,
mm.
Oh, maybe put that bug in our ear.
Right now, my favorite bands that I listen to, I don't know all their stuff. Like, I love Poets of the Fall, but I think Hailstorm might be a good one because I admired Lizzie Hale so much. And I do listen to a chunk of certain songs from certain albums, but to be honest, I don't know which song goes where. Like, they're just kind of all singly saved. So I think that might be interesting and actually give an opinion about.
That'd be cool.
Okay. Dope. Well, we're going to have to put that in the list of the Rolodex of ones. We should, you know, maybe put that together because that would be fun. So, I'm always down to do ranks with anybody. Brando, what's up? We back?
Well, I have a question for us to ponder. We have two ties in the top 10, and we need to figure out what we're going to do with them. I have a suggestion, but if the collective decides against it, I'm cool with it. We'll do the work. I say we leave them as ties. And we do that, and we can separate them once we get there and say, yeah, this one's better than that one. But this way we can go through, we have our technically more than 10, but there are some songs here that share some ranks with some other ones, and that causes a stir for a discussion. And but I think we should just leave it there and then let the people, let them decide if they want to separate
people
them or not.
Decide.
Yeah. The top 10 quotations, it's ghosts. They are a little extra.
They are a little extra.
So let's hit them.
Is that a collective? Okay,
that's my vote.
Yeah.
So
I totally love that.
I did the top 10 songs. I didn't do bottom 10 for Ghost.
I don't think we need to.
I don't think we do either. I feel, for the most part, this is one of the more positively ranked series for me. Like, for all the other ones, like, there's stuff there that does get honest and fluctuate a bit, but this one was relatively honest. Maybe my least favorite is probably still Opus, but that's just, it's the furthest away from where we are, correct? The album that hooked me was Impera. So it's just like, I love Iron Maiden, but those first two Diano albums, man, I tell you what, until you become an Iron Maiden fan, they're a bit of a struggle to hear because they're so different.
For sure.
So here we are. Without further ado, the top 10 Ghost songs coming in at number 10, Jesus, He Knows Me, 9.375. Number 9, Darkness in the Heart of My Love.
I like that one.
9.41. Number 8, we have our first tie. So the first song to achieve the rank of number 8 was Miasma, 9.47.
That one is so good.
And it is tied with Stay, 9.47.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Number 7.
Oh.
What? What, Nate? What?
I was just. Probably slightly delayed.
You were adding a delayed to that. Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. Moving on to number 7. He Is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
9.56. Number 6. Dance Macabre. 9.61. Number 5. Griftwood. This made me happy. This made me happy. With a 9.625. Number 4, Square Hammer with 9.66. Number 3, Year Zero. 9.71. Number 2, We Don't Need Another Hero. 9.81. And tied in a 3-way tie for number 1. These all got perfect scores of 10. These are our only perfect scores of 10. Cerise, Call Me Little Sunshine, and Respite in the Spital Fields. Now, we kind of had to coax 2 of those into being 10, so we kind of forced this tie unto ourselves. But here we are. So that is where it lies. Now, I guess, like, those, okay, so here's where I was thinking. When I was thinking of this while we were kind of wrapping up there at the end, it's hard for me to place any of these songs against each other because they are so vastly different.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
For as much as Ghost borrows from themselves for themes or callbacks or even style or setting the scene or stage of whether they're doing their earlier stuff with their more, like attending a sermon or the more recent mixing the message with more poppier style of rock or anything like that. They're all different because I couldn't say what's better, Miasma or Stay. Two completely different.
For sure.
Like experiences for me. You know, seeing Miasma live blew me away. Like, that was awesome.
I have that set list pulled up also whenever you want to look at that. Yep.
Yes, we
yep.
can. We can look at that right after. But what do you all think of that? Because I have a few songs got bumped out of the top 10 from this episode.
Mm-hmm. Because of covers.
Yes, because of covers, but we do rank them all and we do top 10 songs. We're doing top 10 songs. Sure, if it's a cover, it's a cover. Maybe Van Halen had a cover in there with You Really Got Me, but I can't remember off the top of my head if that was ranked that high. But that would be the only other thing that I think would get that. However, we do have a couple covers within their top 10, but I think it's deserved because of how well they pulled them off.
Absolutely.
You know, you're telling me that Jesus, He Knows Me and We Don't Need Another Hero isn't deserving to be in their top 10. If you just asked me that without me ranking them, I would say, well, probably, yeah, but it would depend. And when you do the math, according to us, it fits. Number 11, because when I was making adjustments, I had to keep moving songs down, was Faith at 9.38.
Oh.
Number 12, Rats, 9.36, and 13.
Fuck, Rats didn't even make the top 10.
Yeah, it was, but it got kicked out. And then number 13, See the Light. 9.35.
That's a good one too. Yes, it is. Oh man, so prequel got kind of shunted.
A
little bit.
Before would you like to go and say the set? Well, we're talking about songs. You want to hit the set list real quick before we hit the album ranks?
So when was it? How's the date? August 22nd is when we saw them. And they did Kasarian, Rats, Faith, Spillways, Cerise, Absolution, Ritual, Call Me Little Sunshine, Conclave Dung Dio, Watcher in the Sky, Year Zero, I didn't mention at the very beginning, but they opened with Imperium. They did Spokesonaut in the middle. He Is, Miasma, Mary on a Cross, and then Respite. That was what they ended the show with, and then they did Kiss the Go-Goat, The Dance Macabre, Square Hammer as the encore. So, awesome.
So,
killer set.
Excuse me. We have the final album ranks for now, until such that the communion can reconvene here. And coming in last place is Nate. Say it because my brain won't work. Oh, you're gonna pull the album out?
Yeah, our bottom ranked album is Opus Eponymous. That's gotta be
Infestissimum.
Really? What? I am so shocked right now.
What?
7.36.
Not expecting
that.
Oh,
well, now I have no idea. You're going to have to take it off the rails here, brother, because I'm thrown off. You have to realize that not a single song from Opus made our top 10.
I know.
Damn.
So Opus got a 7.42. They are really close to each other. So it's Infest and then Opus and then Meliora with an 8.02. It's an 8. You can't get more 80 than that.
Sure.
But they do get more 80s with Impera, 8.68, which means Prequel is the top ranked album, 8.71.
Wow. Mind blown. I am so shocked. I thought Impera was a lock for number one.
Yeah, I thought the same.
Yeah,
I did too.
Wow,
I did too. But
man, a Prequel is so fucking good, though, y'all. I mean, there's so much. Helvetus Monster is an amazing song, and I said it again. Yeah,
No, like this
does.
Well, go ahead.
Does the fact that Prequel only has 10 songs versus Impera's 12 songs affect the math there?
It might, because Impera has a couple of intros where Prequel has Ashes, but then has two full-blown instrumentals, which we ranked more favorably than we did, like Dominion or
Bite of Passage.
Bite of Passage. And literally that is what separates these two albums, as far as math is, are those two intros. Otherwise, these two albums are probably damn near tied. If not Impera, if not Impera, for me, see, I was struggling with my own. I had no idea what your guys' ranks were. But I was looking at, number one, it was hard to pick. It's like, man, this podcast made me a bigger fan of Prequel. It became a big hit for me. Like, I struggled not giving tens. I'm like, I can't. Like, that's not right, is it? Did I find an album that's perfect? And no, I was able to whittle it down a little bit, but still, that is probably, from doing our ranks from Metallica, Alice in Chains, Van Halen, and now Ghost, have gone through and ranked my top 10 albums that we've ranked. And my number, I do believe it is like number 2 and 3 or 3 or 4. It's on my phone. That's where it is. I apologize, but this is an interesting stat, because who would have thunk that for me, Prequel would be my number 4 and Impera would be my number 3 highest ranked albums that I have ranked.
That's awesome.
Period. Like, there's a lot more to come.
Love it. Love it.
There's a lot more to come, but that goes up against some of my favorite bands. And one of them we've already ranked, and they can't get any higher unless they put out new music that blows me away at that level. But that is saying something. This band is something special, and I think anybody who is sleeping on them needs to check them out. Anybody who's weirded out by the imagery or anything like that, give it a shot. He's saying something. It's a message. Listen.
And even if you don't buy into the message, you can separate that from the music and just enjoy some fantastic music. His vocals are fantastic. All the instrumentals, the production, the amount of effort that they put into their stage show and just everything. I mean, they're about it. It's not just a cash grab like a lot of people that all the celebrity people worship, you know. They're doing it.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Man, all right. Well, Brando and I are on the same goddamn wavelength. Before we get out of here, Andy, please take over for just one second. Let everybody know where we are so they can go find you, follow you. And before you do that, I do want to thanks to everybody who has been liking and commenting and sharing and subbing on the Rank 'Em All YouTube and all our other different feeds. Because, man, it's been a really cool reaction. Some of you guys have great opinions on the albums and where they rank for you guys. Please don't stop doing that. Rank them below. Andy, take it away. Where can they find
all your amazingness? If you guys want to check me out on Instagram, I'm on there, sister_Crimson. I also have a YouTube channel, Andy Crimson. I've got mukbangs, song covers. We do some reaction videos, maybe throw in some vlogs here and there. But that's where I'm at right now.
Hell yeah. You guys know where to find us. Brando brought that up in the beginning. I'm going to actually pass for the close of this episode. I think it's fitting that we're ending a series and he should take and walk us out the door. Brando, please.
Well, Nate, thank you again for passing me the baton. Thank you again for taking the reins for this one, because it was a pleasure to be a participant and have less stress about hosting and passing that stuff and carrying the show. That was really cool. It allowed me to enjoy the experience just from a different perspective. But all of you are out there enjoying it from your perspective. What are your ranks? Who do you want to hear us rank? Rank down below some of your band suggestions. That'd be pretty cool. Some artists that we haven't ever even would even think of to touch would be really cool. Even maybe ones that we already might have down the chute coming up the docket. Anyway, you can check out rankemall.rocks is the website. Check out the podcast. Of course, podcasts on podcast platforms like Spotify, Apple Music, all those cool places. You can find us there as well. And we're on YouTube where you can see our pretty little faces with cool little artwork background. And you can see Nate. This episode is going to have some of the funniest freeze frames you'll ever see. It is This episode, it's been a challenge. We've had some internet connectivity issues. I hope you bear with us and hopefully you can understand some of what Nate said sometimes. But it has been endless entertainment for me. I've been tickled. So I hope all of you have had fun. And Andy, thank you once again for joining us here for this ride. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Never even dreamed that I could have done this. So it's been a pleasure, like, discussing Ghost. I love you guys. Thanks so much.
Oh, we love you too, man. You'll have to come back when they release more shit. We'll talk about more, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, thank you guys so much for doing the podcast. Brando, take us home officially.
All right. Well, for Andy, for Nate, and of course, the friendly neighborhood stepdad, Tyler McLaughlin, I've been Brando. We've been Rank 'Em All. And we'll see you around the bend on the next series. Take it easy, guys. Rock on.